Okie doke. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you all this morning. Despite what Paul says, time flowing by, blah, 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 leaving less time for me, I'm not going to cut the word short. I will never do that. Who's hungry this morning? Who's had breakfast this morning? Put your hand up. Who hasn't had breakfast this morning? You haven't. All right. The Bible says the word of God is our food. Man cannot live on bread alone, but by the very word of God. Yes? We make sure we eat three times a day. Most of us, we hear the word preached once a week. How much more do we need this, yes? So where's the church? We don't cut short the sermon, do we, Nige? No, we need this. You see our kids, all right? If you ask your kid, are you hungry? All right, more often than not, when they're really young, they say no, and they just want to run around and be stupid. Yeah, sometimes you have to give your kid food even when they say they're not hungry, right? Isn't it, Bill? You know it. Yeah, so you might not be hungry this morning. I'm telling you, you need this. We need this. So let's feast on this morning, yes? Let's encounter God through his word. So the past few weeks, for those that are joining us new, we've been looking at, we've been going through the book of John. It's a gospel. And we've been looking at a very small miracle where Jesus raises someone from the dead. Just a small one, all right? And his name is Lazarus. And before Lazarus even dies, right, he hears that he's ill. And he says this, he says, this illness of Lazarus, it does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That's why he's ill. That's why he's going to die. That's why I'm going to let him die. Remember, Jesus, when he hears that Lazarus is ill, does he run to his aid? He doesn't. He stays put. And then I think, that's right, Dolly. And then they're standing there thinking, why won't he come? And by the time he does come, it's too late. Mary and Martha are like, look, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus, even before all of this happened, he said, this is happening so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. This is why it's all coming to pass. And he then goes on to say an amazing statement. He does this seven times in the book of John. He says seven I am statements. This time he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks them, do you believe this? Do you believe this, Mary and Martha? Well, you're about to, because 4 days after Lazarus has been dead, he's dead and he's buried. He's laid in the tomb. His body begins to decompose. He goes to the tomb. He says, move that stone. And he calls Lazarus by name and he says, Lazarus, come out. The amazing, that's an amazing part of the story. Unbelievable. The reality is most of us sitting there now, we have to ask ourselves that question. Do we believe that happened? Do you know what's more unbelievable? I find that there were people that witnessed that miracle. Mourners, people that mourned with Mary. They witnessed Lazarus walk out of that tomb after being dead. Some of them didn't believe. They ran and they go and tell the Pharisees. They go and tell the Pharisees, this is what Jesus has just done. And then there's a plot to arrest and kill Jesus. Why would they do that? When the Pharisees received this news, why are the Pharisees going, wait, hold on. Did he just do that? Did he just raise somebody from the dead? Maybe we should believe in him. Because that would be my response. That'd probably be your response. They don't, because they hate Jesus. Because the more Jesus is glorified, the lower they have to become. And they like their seat of power in the synagogue. They like being the most respected people in the land. They like having power over the people because they were the religious leaders. They could tell everybody what to do. When they would come in the marketplaces, everybody would bow before them. They loved it and they didn't want to give that up. They didn't want to seek the glory of Jesus. They wanted to seek their own glory. So that is where we find ourselves up until this point today. We're going to be reading. So that was John chapter 11. And today we're going to be reading from John chapter 12. If you've got Bibles, open them or turn them on. I haven't given the tech team the heads up today. If you've got your Bibles with you or your phone, just turn it on there. So John chapter 12, this is what it says. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Wow.
Shout out to the tech team. Shout out.
So it says Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So this is news now. People know about it. And it says, so they gave a dinner for Jesus there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." We're going to end it there. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the public reading of it, that we've been able to hear it this morning. Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, would you teach us the supreme value of your Son, Jesus Christ? As Paul said this morning, Lord, would we be able to see his value so much that we would be able to give our whole lives to following him? Because, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy of our whole lives. And I pray simply by looking at this text today, we will see just how wonderful and glorious you are, Lord Jesus, and that every single one of us in our hearts would treasure you. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right. I've got a really simple question today. I'm going to get straight to it. And the question is this: where is your treasure? I'm not asking for your bank details. Where is your treasure? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Jesus said this. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you value in this life, what you deem of great worth, that's what you will devote your life to. Yes? That's what you will pour all of your efforts into attaining. It will be the driving force behind the decisions that you make in your life. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So where is your treasure? Mary pours over the body of Jesus 1 year's salary worth of oil. It says 300 denarii, right? One denarii was 1 day's work. The standard payment for a laborer, one denarii for a day's work. So if you put that into our context, you take the minimum wage, multiply it by the normal working hours in a working week, times it by 52, that's your year's salary, that's £20,000. Says that she took 20 grand's worth of oil, she broke the vase and poured it on Jesus. Judas says, "What are you doing? We could have sold that and sold it to the poor." Quick question. Does Judas have a point? It's a lot of money. That is worth a lot of money. 20 grand. I ain't got 20 grand, you know, to pour on the floor.
I don't.
The answer to the question, right, what, did Judas have a point? Was it too much? The answer to the question, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And I hope today we will see this morning, it's all about your heart. Mary's brother Lazarus died. He was dead. And Jesus came and brought him back to life. So in the grand scheme of things, I wonder, is this offering of 20 grand, a year's salary, is it too much?
Has anybody seen the film Good Will Hunting? Matt Damon, Gabe?
Classic.
Serious film. Tearjerker. Have you anyone else seen it? Raise a hand so I'm not the only one who's with a bad taste in films. Yeah, I've got four of us. All right.
Okay, Good Will Hunting. There's a lady, right, and she's studying at a top university in America. She's had to pay loads of money to be part of this university. And she's dating this poor fella, but he's also a genius. And he ends up basically mocking her, right, because she's rich. He looks down on her because she's rich and she's paid for this massive education. And she explains to him, listen, the only reason I can afford this education is because my dad died. And I'm using my inherited money in order to pay for this education. She said, you know what? It's the least I could do. Given that I've inherited this money, the least I can do is try and get a good education in his honor, in his name. But she says, you know what? Do you not think for a second I wouldn't trade all that money for one more moment with my dad? The trade-off, it's a no-brainer. She would give all the money back so she could have one more moment with her father. Mary's brother was dead. Jesus comes along and brings him back to life. Is this offering of ointment too much? Is it? Of course it's not. Of course not. See, when we truly value what Jesus has done for us in our lives, okay, this is the kind of response that it elicits. This is the kind of response that pours out of us. You know, for a woman to let down her hair amongst men that are not her husband, that was unbecoming of a woman in that culture, very unbecoming. She comes out with this, was it a family heirloom? I don't know how she got this expensive oil of nard. Nard, you can only get in India. It didn't grow in Israel. You couldn't get it. This was expensive, rare stuff. She breaks the alabaster jar. She breaks it. We read about in Mark's gospel. She breaks it. So it's not something you can reseal, and she pours it all away. Unashamed she was, not caring what anybody else would think. They're having dinner. And this is her response because of her gratitude for what Jesus has done. And for us, it's the gift of eternal life, isn't it? It's salvation from the wrath of God for our sins. It's redemption. It's we've been saved from our rebellion from God. Jesus, he met us on our road to hell that we were all embarking on, by the way. He met us on that road to hell and he turned us round. He opened our eyes and he turned us round. I think that elicits a response. That elicits gratitude, no? But it wasn't just gratitude that led Mary to perform this outrageous act of love. She'd seen Jesus' glory. What did Jesus say this illness of Lazarus would lead to? It wouldn't lead to death. It's so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I bet when Jesus comes and she's mourning, she's grieving her brother being dead, and he speaks into that tomb, Lazarus, come out, and he walks out, she saw the glory of God. No ordinary man can do that. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he put it like this in Corinthians. He said, for God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus.
Mary's heart, like ours, was once darkened to the glory of God in the face of Jesus. There was a point in her life she couldn't see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But it says God opened her eyes. God shone a light and revealed to her the glory of God in the face and person of Jesus Christ. So when she saw Jesus now, the man, he's walked on water. He's fed 5,000, we would say 20. 5,000 men, not including women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's healed a blind man, a man that was born blind. He's healed lepers. Now she's seen him call her dead brother out of the grave. She's seen the glory of God. When you and I, when we truly understand the infinite worth of Jesus, the eternal Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. When we see who Jesus is, the holy God who became a sinner for us, who became sin, sorry, not a sinner, became sin for us. The question goes from, was Mary's offering too much, to, was it enough? There's nothing we can give back to God to truly reflect the worth of Jesus Christ. She gave everything she had. She gave it. And of course, that is, Paul said it this morning, that's what we're called to do. But it's not as a slave master whipping up that, give me everything. He is worthy. He is worthy. And Mary saw that. And so I want to ask you this morning, have you seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus? Do you see it? Let's get on to Judas, shall we? On the face of it, Judas, his question, it seems like a fair one. Why didn't we sell it? Why didn't we sell this? We could have sold this and fed the poor. And it seems like a really noble question, doesn't it? Like, it seems like he really cares about the poor. And even the other disciples, you hear in Mark's gospel, says the other disciples, they start chiming in as well. And they're rebuking Mary. She's done this beautiful act of love. And all the disciples, the one who Jesus had chosen, they're all grilling her. Absolutely slamming her. Little did they know, Judas's love was not for the poor. Judas's love was for money. He was a thief. He was a thief. Judas was in charge of the money bag. He followed Jesus round for 3 years. Jesus puts him in charge of the joint money bag that they use for their ministry, that they use for blessing the poor, and he would help himself to it. He followed him around just to use him for that. And so when Judas sees this, he's gutted. Do you know why he's gutted? Because that's a big payday. He's so evil. His heart is so evil. That all he can think about in that moment, he doesn't ask the question, why is she doing that? All he sees is his money poured on the floor. But Jesus knew Judas's heart. He knew his heart all along. And I love Jesus's response. Jesus' response, I'll read it here. He says, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. This is the bit. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. On the face of it, right, that is quite a confusing response from Jesus. It sounds like he's belittling the worth of poor people. He said, look, those poor people, listen, they're always going to be around. Trust me, you'll always have them. So today's about me. But that's not his heart here. Right? We know Jesus loves the poor. We know this. Jesus said, what you do for the lowest of he, you do for me. Jesus associates himself with the poor. That's not what's happening here. Jesus' response to Judas as if you always got the poor with you, it's underhanded. All right, he's cut into the heart of Jesus. He said, oh, Judas, I know how much you care for the poor, Judas. Yeah, if you're listening to this back, I just winked. I know how much you care for the poor, Judas. And when I'm gone, you can continue to love the poor. You know, you can keep doing that good work that you so strive to do. But I'm leaving you. And in Mark's gospel, it says, what Mary has just done in anointing my body, she's preparing me for burial. He's pointing to his death on the cross. Who's going to betray him? Who's going to be the one?
Judas.
Jesus didn't expose Judas there. He could have said, I know why you're asking. I've been watching you. I know you've been stealing. He doesn't expose him. He lets Judas do that to himself when he betrays him with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. So when we're looking at Judas, I just want to very quickly, I want to bring out three warnings, okay? Because we need to heed these warnings from the life of Judas. The first one is plain and simple. The love of money is the root of many evils. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The love of money is the root of many evils. If money is your master, you're in grave danger, guys. We're in grave danger if money's our master. It leads to all kinds of evil. In the case of Judas, deception. Betraying his beloved friend because money was his master. He was so desperate for it. After this incident, he runs off to the Pharisees and he rats Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. That's how dangerous the love of money is. Those that love you most, you will put the money before them. And this is where we need to examine our hearts. So that's the first warning. Jesus, he taught this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 34. He said this, if anyone would come after me, this is what Paul was saying earlier, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? The love of money is the root of many evils. There's your first warning. Warning number two. The Lord knows your heart. He knows our hearts, doesn't he? He knows what's going on in there, and our hearts are deceitful. To the rest of the disciples, Judas seemed really righteous in this moment. They all start jumping in, don't they? Yeah, why didn't you? What have you done? We could have helped the poor. They think Judas is saying all the right things. On the outside, he looks like a great disciple of Jesus. He cares for the poor. He doesn't care for the poor. And Jesus knew his heart. You know, this whole time on the outside, he was posing as righteous, doing all the right things, very religious man. You know, do you know, to have a rabbi and to follow that rabbi around, this was a very noble thing for a person to do in their time. He followed him around, and inside, he was only doing it for the money. It's not good enough. You know, just coming to church, doing all the religious things, looking good on the outside. That's not going to get you eternal life. Looking the part, putting on a facade, trying to impress everybody with what you know about the Bible, trying to impress everybody, doing and saying the right things. Your religiosity will not draw you closer to God. True submission to God, right? Abandoning all else in your life that you might gain Christ Jesus. That is the road to eternal riches. And so, as a church, we need to strive to be honest. Yes. Not putting on facades. Not trying to look the part. Let's be honest as we seek God. And as we're honest about examining our own hearts and bringing that to the Lord and saying, look, do you know what? Lord, I need help here. I'm struggling here. I don't want to put on a facade. We need to show grace to one another. I think that's why we find it hard sometimes to be honest in church. I'm not talking about this church. I've been to many churches, all right? In a church, it's very hard. We want to look the part. God, the okay. It just wants you to be humble and have the humility to say, yes, I need you. I need you. And so I encourage us as a church, forget the facade, forget looking good to one another. God knows what's going on in there. Let's invite Jesus in. The final warning, guys. This is just from this bit of Jesus, okay? Using God for your own personal gain. Okay? Judas followed Jesus around, not because he loved Jesus. He followed him around so that he could get what he wanted from Jesus, which was money. He used Jesus' ministry to line his own pockets. He didn't follow Jesus around so that he could gain Jesus. And I find this is very common in our culture. So many people, this is how they approach God. We use God for what we can get from him. And so many gospel presentations, my friends and I, Roderick and I, we spoke about this yesterday. It's the prosperity gospel. So many sermons, do this, this, and this, God will bless you. Do this, this, and this, he will bless your business, he will bless your finances. If you just fast this much, if you just give this many times, using God for your own personal gain. And then from these very same people that have been, they've been conned by this gospel. This is not the gospel. They've been conned by this gospel. And you know what? When they're done praying, when they're done fasting, when they're done tithing and they don't get what they want, I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in God anymore. I prayed and I fasted and he didn't heal my mom. She died. Don't believe in him anymore. That doesn't disprove the existence of God, that you asked God for what you want and he didn't give it. That doesn't disprove the existence of God. That proves that he's not a genie. That's all that proves. All you've proved is that you're not God. If you just want God to do what you want, at the click of your fingers, give me everything I want. That's how I view God. And then he doesn't give you your prayer, your answer to prayer. All you've proved is that you're not God. Actually, we need God for God. Not for what? That's the great treasure. I'm hoping you see in Mary's act of service and worship. She worshipped him. So Judas is all of us, okay, when we use God for our own good purposes, okay? But I give you this. The Bible gives us these warnings so that we don't miss out on discovering the true treasure. And that is the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That is it. The gospel isn't eternal life without Jesus. The gospel isn't, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. Listen, if Jesus ain't there, it's not good. The gospel is Jesus. You can have him. He's yours, a personal relationship with God. That is what Paul was saying, right? That is the gospel. We can know him. We have been reconciled to him. Our sin stopped that. Put a barrier between us and God. None are righteous. Not one. Jesus came, died for our sins that we could be reconciled to God. And he gives us his Holy Spirit that we may know him. This is the great treasure. And Mary saw that. Mary saw it. Mary knew it. Mary was in this room with the man that just called her brother out of the grave. She probably couldn't comprehend what she's just seen. All she knows was, I've just seen the glory of God. I'm going to get on my hands and knees and adorn him. I'm going to give him everything I've got because he's worth it. You know, Mary in the Gospels is always depicted as being at the feet of Jesus. Stephen said that a few weeks ago. First of all, she's seen at the feet of Jesus listening and learning. In the chapter previous to this, she's seen at the feet of Jesus asking him for help because she knew he's the answer. Now, she's seen at the feet of Jesus worshiping him. Later on, she's seen at the foot of the cross. This is the secret. If you want to know the secret, it's about your posture. It's about your heart. It's about how we come before Jesus. Positioning ourselves in a position of humility, to be at someone's feet, that is a position of humility. This is the secret to beholding the glory of Jesus. You want to see? Is it true? Is he God? Get at his feet. Start learning. Start asking him for help in prayer. Start worshiping him. Get to the foot of the cross for the forgiveness of your sins in repentance. That's the secret. And behold, you will see the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, right, he had everything. Esteemed Pharisee, he said, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of everything, and I count everything as rubbish. It's rubbish in this translation. It would have sounded more like the word dung. It's feces. S-bomb. Yeah, that's what it is. It's rubbish. In order that I may gain Christ Jesus, I have to count everything else as garbage. In order to behold and see him for who he truly is. He had everything, this man. All right, you think you've got power, you think you've got respect, you think you've got money. You ain't got nothing on the Apostle Paul. He had righteousness. He thought he was a holy Pharisee, and he lost it all just so that he could know Jesus. We must be prepared. Listen, this is the final point, okay? We must be prepared to lose and suffer the loss of everything to know Jesus. We must be prepared. This Jesus says this. Can I leave you with a final story? Right. I really don't like heights. That is why I actually chose to stop growing. It's a conscious effort. That's why I stopped at 5'9". 8.5. All right. As a kid, I went to a climbing wall. And I remember getting quarter of the way, and I'm thinking, sod this. I'm out. So I'm telling them, please let me down. Do you know the instructors, they're there, you know, G-ing you on, you could do. I'm saying, listen, you need to get me down now. He said, look, get halfway. There was this ledge. Get halfway, all right? You stand on the ledge, you get halfway, I let you down. So I went, all right, cool, this is my ticket out. I get up there, I get halfway, and I'm standing on this ledge. Honestly, jelly legs, I'm gone, right? But I made it. And so I'm like, all right, great, I'm here now, let me down. And then he did that typical instructor thing. Right, now you're halfway, try and get to the top. I said, listen, I'm out, I'm done. After a minute, it felt like an hour, Bob. All right, it felt like an hour. After a minute of me back and forthing with this guy, I lost the plot, and I've sworn at the instructor. I've sworn it. I said, let me down now. I've lost it. I'm like 12. I've lost the plot. And he said, okay, to come down, you're going to have to jump off. I'm like, that's the thing I'm scared of, falling off. And you're telling me now I have to do it. So all my friends are there telling me, and this is actually, I'm getting to the point now. This is the point where they're telling me, look, in order for you to get down, you have to jump. You're going to have to let go. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I'm grounded here. I'm grounded, and I'm holding on. Honestly, my hands are red. I'm holding on. You have to let go. Look at Mary, all right? Look at Mary. Do you think she's got any care in the world what anyone thinks of her in that room? No care in the world. He says that she wiped his feet with her hair. His feet? Yeah, it's nasty. It's like the lowest part of our body. She wiped it. She didn't care what anybody thought. She was free. And to be free in Christ Jesus, you have to let go. Like, you've got to let go of everything. And it feels really counterintuitive, right? Do you know when you're on that ledge and you're holding on? My money, the respect of my friends and my family, my future career, my dreams. What about my dreams? It feels counterintuitive to let go. But when you let go, that's when you discover the true treasure. Yes. Who do you want to be in this story? Do you want to be Lazarus with 30 gold coins, silver coins? Or do you want to be Mary, who sold it all, poured it all out, and she has the honor of saying, I have got down with all, in front of all these esteemed disciples, I got on my hands and knees, and I anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, and I wiped it with my hair. She didn't do it to boast. But if you ask me which one I want to be, I don't care about anything anymore. We have to be willing to suffer the loss of all things to know Christ Jesus. When you do it, trust me, you will discover the true treasure. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful story. I thank you for Mary. What an example she is to us, Lord. But Lord, ultimately we thank you because you are the one who opens our eyes. You are the one who shows us your glory. You came to us whilst we were sinners. We'd already turned our back on you, God, and you came and you offered mercy and grace that we could know you. Lord, would you make us a people that are willing to suffer the loss of all things? Lord, I pray for all of us. There are going to be things in our hearts right now, Lord, that we're going to find hard to let go of. I pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will break those bonds and that you will give us the freedom that we have in you, Lord Jesus. I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Lord, would you free us to follow you? Free us to behold the glory of God in the face of you, Lord Jesus. We want to see you. We've sung it. We've prayed it. We seek your face, Lord Jesus. Grant it to us that we would see, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are on a journey of going from one degree of glory to the next. I bless you for that, Jesus. And we worship you. So, Lord, as we go out now, Lord, we want to offer you our whole lives, as Paul has said, giving it all to you, because, Jesus, you are worthy. Amen.